Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Specialists are back, and we are covering a new show this year. We didn't do season one, but here we are with season two of House of Villains. It's going to be me and Blake. Yeah, this is Phil, because Will works on the damn show, so he can't do this. And he said I was allowed to say that right off the bat because enough people know. This is the reason why he wasn't around during the beginning of Survivor 46, because he was off gallivanting, working nonstop with the villains of villains over here on House of Villains. So we're finally here. I mean, all these months later, here we are talking about it. We got a different type of cast than season one. I don't know if it's as iconic of a cast as season one. Like, I don't know if these are your top tier across the board like season one was. But I will say, for these first two episodes, I actually feel like they all kind of work together a little bit better, maybe, than the individuals of season one did. But anyway, Blake, did you watch season one of House of Villains?
This is where it's very interesting, because what's cool about House of Villains is both seasons. This is going to be true as well for season two. We'll see how we get. I love some of the people on the show, but I absolutely hate some people on the show. Mm-hmm. And whenever I realized Johnny Bananas was not going home anytime soon, and I'd have to watch Johnny Bananas an entire season, I did bail out. Not bail out, but like, I was having so much fun watching the show, watching Johnny Fairplay again, watching like him like trick people on the golf cart mm-hmm. stuff. Like, that was so fun. But then I realized Johnny Bananas is probably making it to the end of this. I don't need to watch Johnny Bananas make it to the end of another show. And then when I did see who win, it was like Johnny Fairplay didn't win, but also I'm not a Bad Girls Club fan. So it wasn't like, let's go, Tanisha. Yeah,
I will say Tanisha winning wasn't the most exciting thing for me.
Right. And like, the other thing that's a little bit like, I get it, but also don't get it, is like, we have 10 episodes, but we only eliminate 5 people, and then the finale has like 5 people. It's like, I mean, that's not normally how shows work.
I get that for this kind of show, though, because this kind of show is essentially, this is essentially like a Real Housewives show, except it's villains and they do get eliminated. But like, the eliminations aren't the most important part of this show. You're tuning into House of Villains to watch everybody argue with each other and be dicks. And honestly, like, if it's House of Villains, you got to have a lot of villains throughout the entire thing. I'm okay with the fact that we watched 2 episodes and only one person went home. Like, I'm okay with the fact that this was 2.5 hours of TV scheduled time slots. And it was fine. Like, I'm fine with that. And I enjoyed that. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, are we missing a Bobby Lights for this season? So far, yes. But I will say, like, Wes and Hatch being on this show really does crack me up, considering who else they're there with. And I felt the same way with like Bananas and Fairplay last season. It's like, there are certain people that just feel like they were like almost born for this kind of show, right? Like Safari feels like he fits right in. New York being back for a second time doesn't surprise me at all. Victoria, this is right up her alley. Teresa, this makes sense. And then you get like Hatch and Wes, who are like, we're gonna play this like a real game. And we're going to see how this goes. And that's how Fairplay was. Like, Fairplay last season, I feel like it took him an episode or two to really figure out what E and what, like, whatever channel these shows are on, what they really wanted from him to make him get the screen time. Because it takes Fairplay an episode or two to really get rolling. And then once he does, it's great. I will say, Hatch definitely still has the TV personality. I was very happy with what I watched from Hatch in these first 2 episodes, but it is just funny to see them on a show like this where they're like strategizing and actually thinking about it. And everybody else is like, I'm just going to go argue with this person. Like, I just hate you. So what's up?
And I'll never not hate you. Should we do a recap of the 10 villains and if we know them and love them, or is that not important for anybody?
No, let's talk about the cast, because we didn't do a cast system. So obviously Hatch is the big one for us. We get the original Survivor winner. We haven't seen him on TV since 2004 when he played Survivor All-Stars. Actually plays pretty well on that season. His bamboozled episode is one of my favorite episodes of that season. Obviously doesn't come back again because of all his legal troubles, plus the incident with Sue Hawk during All-Stars. But I don't know, man. Watching the clips of him that they kept showing from CBS, and the fact that, you know, Dr. Sean Kenneth got his screen time in this episode, good for him, 24 years later. I missed having Hatch on TV, and I feel like he worked. And obviously I'm excited that Hatch is back. But what did you think of Hatch?
He's old now, where I was like
63.
Oh, I
mean, in the Bryce Isaiah, you don't think he's got the zaddy thing going on, though?
He's old. It's interesting. I do think the thought process of villain, like, did he cross the line last time we saw him? Blah, blah, blah. Like, have we always wanted him back? Yes. This is a tongue in cheek show where we do talk about how much we have been in jail. Mm. Like, I thought that was a crazy,
they've
like,
all been in there, and that's
not jail, prison or something.
And the first challenge is a prison break episode, because so many of them have been to prison.
And like, I think that was genius from producers of like, you've never seen this picture before, but let's put Teresa in a like jumpsuit,
yeah,
and Hatch in a jumpsuit, and like, Hatch has a, it either isn't completely like I think that's what's interesting this far later is like either Hatch has no shame or he has like he doesn't care. Like
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the crazy part with Hatch, he was in jail for 5 years.
Right.
Like that's crazy.
Like I wouldn't want to relive that. And I almost if I went to jail for 5 years, I'd be like, nobody is ever gonna see me again. I'm gonna be a like lost reality person. But like I'm wondering about appearance fee. I'm wondering like is this the most important thing for Hatch or is this just like one last ride? Because I think some of these stars on reality shows have said like, I want to do this because my kids, my friends, my whatever didn't know me 20 years ago when I was on reality TV. So I want to show them one last time or whatever is like a layer that I did not expect from reality stars. Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to see every single one of our favorite person? Like, is Andy Rueda from Big Brother, what is this, Survivor 47, mm-hmm. gonna do one last show when he's 62? Like, that's just what we're in for the next 50 years of content and TV shows. Like, that'd be hilarious. But yeah, I'm not excited to see Hatch, but I'm like, you're going to deliver and this will be interesting. I don't like the whole like I'm naked because I think there is a little bit more nuance and like that's just the go-to joke instead of like what he really is good at.
I mean, they're egging him on for sure to do this. Like, it's so funny because when you look at the producers of Survivor, right? Like Liz Wilcox said to us on our predictions and power rankings for episode 2 of this season, she said they call it like you can huddle but you can't cuddle now because of the Dan Spilo incident. And it's crazy, like, you know, a show like Survivor, once something like that happens, they back away and they say you can't do the stuff that was integral to the game for so long. And then you get a show like House of Villains that's like, oh, like, please walk around with your entire everything out and make everybody as uncomfortable as possible because that's why we put you on the show. And these people know what they signed up for. We want the chaos. Just don't cross a line. And here's the thing. They're coming off of last season where what's her name? Sued the show. Omarosa.
Oh, yeah. She sued
like the Omarosa. Show? I'm pretty sure she sued the show. I mean, Omarosa like claimed that she got like assaulted on the show. It was so fucking ridiculous. But it's like she claimed that happened. And now she might sue me for saying it was fucking ridiculous. But yeah, it's just like you have to think the producers and everything, they know that they could run into some like legal troubles or something somewhere down the line. And yet they're still like, yeah, Hatch, we are egging you on to be the naked guy. Cause that's what you are known for. And that's the easy selling point for you on this season. So happy to have him back.
Happy to have him back. How about Safari Samuels? Do you know him at all?
I don't know him. I like him though. I feel like he is a more fun version or not a more fun version. That's totally incorrect. He is a more easily accessible version of Bobby Lights on this season. Like Bobby Lights was the crazy over the top, massive personality who dressed in crazy clothing and did all that stuff. And then I feel like they like, were like, okay, Bobby Lights was great. We're not gonna be able to replace Bobby Lights. So let's get like more of a suave version of Bobby Lights, like the straight suave, more like down to earth version who people would still like, but it's going to be in a different way. And that's what I felt like with Safari.
And I think this is where, like, I watched him do Scared Famous. Mm-hmm. And that was a show in 2017, which was where I was first introduced to Alaska Thunderfuck, who is one of the best people from RuPaul's Drag Race. And that was my entry point into RuPaul's Drag Race because Alaska was so funny. Mm-hmm. But then Alaska left and Tiffany New York Pollard, which is where he's talking about, we were on a show together before. Yeah. Alaska and New York left in back-to-back rounds, and it was like, what's the point of watching this anymore? Because I was so anti-everybody else. But Safari is somebody who's like, I think he's down to clown. He knows what you need from him or whatever. Yeah. But like,
dude, the asking for kisses and all that's like, it's great. It's gold. I love it.
Yeah, and like, is he going to break up New York's engagement that's not real or is real? Is like, so like, okay, this is what we're doing. Or like, I think somebody that's willing to pull out a rose and be like, just kidding, this isn't for you, is like, okay, it's like I'm not on board of like I immediately check off on everything you do, but I'm like, okay, let's see what he's doing.
The assignment, he gets it.
And it was so funny where it was like, here's how pawns work in Big Brother, and like, dude, we were young. We were so tired. We were staying up watching House of Fame all night.
So what my problem is when I sit in this chair for too long, I hunch, and I was writing before this, and then my back gets tight, and I like can't breathe. Anyway, go ahead, continue.
You hate Safari so much. Then third is Mr. Pectacular. Let's do all the guys first.
All right, Mr. Pectacular. Is this what he was like on Big Brother? This guy seems like a gigantic tool who is putting on the biggest show I've ever seen. Like, he does not seem like he is this.
So his original season was very much like, I'm ostracized and I don't like this, but I'm so strong in challenges that I'm going to keep winning early on. But he went home in like fourth in Big Brother. And his season is the first season of Dan. So like, That's how long ago this was, and the pedigree of like he was like a main, not adversary for Dan, but like that you had to work around him, and it was just, I'm gonna yell at this old man who's like 70, and I'm gonna yell at this old woman who's like 55, and I'm not gonna back down from this other woman either. So it was like, oh, this is just somebody who is gonna hold their ground and be like obnoxious in a different way. But then he came back for Big Brother 11. Yeah, that was like literally one season later, and he was like a figure that everyone was like, oh, and whenever he went home, everyone cried for like 3 days. So he was like a Jesus moment of like, we're gonna do this for Jesse. And I think he realized when Big Brother brought him back for 11, 12, 13, 14, they would bring him back, but just for like small moments after those first two seasons.
How long did he actually play? I was like, damn, that's
cool. They brought him back just to antagonize everybody on 12, 13, 14. And it was like, Mr. Pectacular is here to deliver the prize. And he would just start doing all that stuff. And that's when it was like, well, Mr. Pectacular, Jesse was just Jesse the first season. And maybe like as a joke, be like, Pectacular, like, Twisted Steel and Sex Appeal or something, but like it was going nowhere fast. And then it was like, oh, you guys like this. And I think there's a writer for Big Brother, because there are writers that help Julie Chen and figure out all this stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a guy there that worked on wrestling. So I think it was kind of like an easy, like, well, if you like this, Jesse, I can put you in the right stuff. And then he's not on WWE, but he's definitely had a career on like the third best one for like 15 years now.
People could know who he is. All right. And then Wes coming from the challenge. This one doesn't surprise me at all. I feel like they just like the challenge. And I feel like Wes would obviously say yes to this. To me, it feels like Wes is there to play a different game than what the show wants, which like is fine. But I feel like Wes should win this, right? Like there's like really no doubt that Wes should win. Like he can win all the challenges. I know towards the end of last season, like Fair Play and Shake go home because they lose a redemption challenge, not because they're voted out to be banished. They like lose. Who is going to beat Wes in these challenges? Mr. Pectacular, that's it. So I don't know. I feel like obviously the challenges are different, right? Like Walk of No Shame. How is Wes going to do in that? Not nearly as good as Candy Muse. But I feel like as the season goes on, they're going to start to get a little bit more insulated and get similar to what last season's challenges were. And I just feel like if you actually do get a head-to-head type competition, he's going to win. And I feel like that's going to put him in position to be super villain of the week a whole bunch. Like we saw Bananas do last season, right? Like Bananas wins the last two super villain of the weeks to get himself in to the end game.
Because once again, there's only like five, basically.
Exactly. No, last year there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were 6 supervillains of the week last year. That's it. And 2 of them were Omarosa, 3 of them were Bananas, and then Bobby Lights won it and then put himself in on the hit list and banished himself.
Bring back Bobby Lights. I think Wes is, if we were doing odds, and this was a whole big game that we played with this, I would do the whole idea of, guess what? It's Wes or the field. Who do you think will win? 100%. And I think that kind of, not that that sucks, but it's just like Bananas won all the challenges in season 1 and then lost. So it's like, how do we just not have the exact same thing happen and he like loses to Victoria because like she's the person who's not West when it's time to vote for people.
Well, I feel like Victoria would probably fall into the Anfisa situation of last year where there were the three people you'd vote for. Two of them got the votes, and then Anfisa ends up casting the tie-breaking vote. I could feel like Victoria falling into that because so far it feels like nobody likes Victoria at all.
I mean, let's go to her now. Victoria, I had no idea who she is. I thought that was a funny
Rachel liked her. Rachel said that that's pretty much how she acted on. She just gaslit people through The Bachelor the entire time.
I think that's a funny franchise to come from for this type of stuff because like Corinne was last season too, right?
Yeah, and Corinne was
amazing. Yeah. Like I'm more Bachelor villains of like, what does villain mean to y'all? Of like, I took a tiara off of someone's head. It's like some of these people beat the shit out of each other. Okay, that's not the same.
Yeah,
you're out. Get out of here, quick.
Yeah,
there's the bad girls club person will throw your stuff in the pool. Quick.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Victoria's very pretty, but nobody cares. She's trying to flirt, but nobody cares.
Like, she's on the wrong season, right? Like Hatch is gay and old. Yeah. Wes does not care. Wes has
a wife for like 5 years now.
She's flirting with Safari. And what really makes me laugh in the second episode, when Hatch is trying to sleep and Safari's his roommate and Victoria comes in to flirt and they keep showing the timestamp 12:15, 12:30. And Hatch has like a pillow and shorts over his head. And at the beginning, he thinks that Safari's just talking on the phone and he rolls over and he goes, oh, it's a fucking person. And then he rolls back and he's laying there and the time keeps going. And then as soon as she leaves, he just screams, Jesus Christ. And that's why he votes for her at the end of this. And he can't stand her. And it just makes me really laugh because it's like, I love like Hatch is being more confrontational with the house than Fairplay was willing to be last season. And Fairplay, it took him a little bit to become more confrontational, whereas Hatch is just like immediately saying, okay, I haven't been on TV in 20 years. I know they want me to be super confrontational. These people are pissing me off, so I'm going to tell them that they're pissing me off, and maybe it'll make good TV.
Then we have Teresa G,
Can't cook, according to all of them.
Oh, she my God.
Them all dinner, and they all said it was salty and shitty, and nobody would say that to her face. Can't say that to an Italian woman over 40.
I mean, it's probably the perfect amount of salt for the people that need in her life.
I know.
Teresa G is definitely the, like, Omarosa legend of the season of, like this person went to jail. I thought it was funny explaining, like, you know, it was my ex-husband. It really wasn't me. They made an effort to really punish me.
Because I was on TV.
Like, I think the best episode of this shit is always the first episode because everyone's like so fake nice to each other. And like, they did some of this last season where they would like flash forward like to like 5 days from now, these people will literally be like screaming at each other. And right now they're like, let's be in the same room. Oh,
and we see that at the end of episode two, before they even go in to do the vote, Larissa and Victoria just screaming at each other. I don't even know what Larissa said throughout the entire argument, but like just screaming at each other after everybody tries to play all nicey nice. You get Candy screaming at Safari after Safari puts Candy up. Like, I love that stuff.
And I think it's interesting that they kind of use the same TV shows. We have a Love of Hip Hop. We have a 90 Day Fiance. We have,
Survivor.
I mean, Tiffany's the exact same. But like the new shows this year are Big Brother. And no, do we have a Real Housewife last week?
We did. Yeah, we had a Real Housewife. So last season we had. Oh, no, we didn't have a Real Housewife. So last season, it was Tanisha on Bad Girls Club, Bananas on the Real World, Celeste's Challenge, Anfisa on 90 Day Fiancé, Fairplay from Survivor, Shake from Love is Blind, Omarosa from The Apprentice, Bobby Lights, Love and Hip Hop, Corinne was The Bachelor, New York was Flavor of Love, and then Jax was Vanderbilt.
So it's kind of like the same core six or seven, and then like I would rather have Teresa G than another apprentice person or whatever. Sure. Like,
I mean, Omarosa made sense, but you're not going to get, there is no other Omarosa from The Apprentice. Just like with Jax being Vanderpump Rules, there is nobody else from Vanderpump Rules that's worth pulling in.
I mean, they're villains, but to society, not to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, who have we not said? Okay, Candy. Candy Muse. What do you think about Candy Muse? And then I'll talk some.
I think Candy is great for this type of show. I don't know if I'd want to watch. Like, what's funny with Candy Muse is I feel like Candy Muse is one of those people who, on another reality show that I would watch, like because pretty much the other reality shows we watch, like The Traitors, Survivor, I don't watch Big Brother, but like The Challenge, you know, stuff like that. I don't really think Candy fits on those. I don't think Candy would be a good Traitors player. But I feel like for House of Villains and these like E! Bravo type shows, Candy is perfect for it. And I think that the way he was dominating, absolutely dominating the Walk of No Shame challenge, like had to take selfies with so many people and yet still right. was able to win that thing. That is something you're not going to, like, Candy can't show off all of his personality anywhere else. But on this show, it all comes out. And I thought it was great. So yeah, I'm in on Candy Muse.
Candy Muse. Here's something. How much Drag Race have you watched?
Oh, the amount of, you know, I don't know, zero.
So this isn't crazy and this isn't like you're wrong or whatever, but just to help out, Candy Muse, when we're talking about her in drag, we use her pronouns, mm-hmm. and it's something that's super easy whenever you watch a shitload of Drag Race.
Yeah.
I don't think we even know Candy Muse's real name, but Candy Muse is like in a wearing like street clothes or whatever instead of always in drag.
Yeah.
So there's usually you'd be like, this is their real name when they're this, and it's he when it's like clearly presenting as male. But like Candy Muse, even though there's five men and five women technically completing on the show, like I think I'm going to be using her pronouns for Candy Muse this whole time. And it won't be too crazy because that's what Drag Race does all the time. Okay. And that's something you don't know if you don't watch Drag Race.
Candy Muse's real name is Kevin Candelario.
Right. And I don't know that. And I've watched Candy Muse on two seasons of the show because it's like that's just how that works. So Candy Muse is hilarious. But also, like, I was rooting against Candy Muse so much on her season of original Drag Race. She was driving me crazy. And she ends up losing in the final two, but she should have gotten, like, fifth or sixth place. And it was, like, RuPaul just really likes Candy and, like, was, like, completely like here's a side door you can walk through, Candy, because I like you so much. And it was like everyone was like, there's not supposed to be a side door, god damn it. And it like that's the thing that like, and she's like, oh, you guys don't get it, or like her villainy comes from like, you just don't understand me. And it's like, I do understand you, I just don't like you. Mm-hmm. And like, but like, oh, I don't play that shit. And like, I'm screaming. And like, she just overpowers with her huge voice. And like where you're just like, your villainy doesn't have any place in reality. Mm-hmm. And like that was the thing of in Drag Race, you want to wear nice, stylish clothes. And she came out with like a monster wrapped around her neck once. And should have been eliminated. It was like, what the hell is that? I can show you a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And she like didn't get eliminated. And everyone was like, great, great costume. It was like, it's not. I swear. like what? But it was just like, she's so good at the in your face part of Drag Race that she's not going home because we need it for this. And then I think that was the first season where Drag Race won an Emmy for casting. And so instead of being normal about that, like, Candy was like, it's all because of me. And you're just like, no, stop. So whenever she was announced for House of Villains, that was kind of like, this is maybe my bananas of like, I don't want to see Candy get to the final two. I don't want it, like Candy to like worm her way into my heart, because it's like Cochran coming back for Kara Mullen of like, I hated Cochran so much the first time, where if I have to watch him win and he gets redeemed for both personality and soul, it's like, do I want to be a part of that? So I will be like rooting against Candy. And like, but it was funny to see her just completely dominate the Walk of Shame challenge, because it's like, it's just, oh, you guys are on that show that no one cares about. I'm on Drag Race and I have millions of fans.
Too bad.
So sad, losers. It's like, oh shit.
All right. Where else are we going next? So
there's one. I think we're missing one more person. Oh, Bad Girls Club. How do we say her name? Camila. Camila, I think, is very much like they're setting her up to be like she's going to be in the end game. So get to know her because everyone wants to work with her. I think there was a strategy session in both episode 1 and 2 for her of like Wes wants to work with her. I think Hatch took her to the side and was like, how's it going? Tell me what do you know? And she did have the most strategic moment of, well, I was going to sleep with Teresa in the same room, but I guess if New York wants to push me out of here, and I'll just say, okay, great. And then the other person that we haven't said is New York. Mm-hmm. New York, I'm so, like, that's why I'm here. I watched Scared Famous for her. Mm-hmm. New York is probably my favorite person on reality TV of all time. Nothing she does makes sense. She's always doing the most outlandish thing and getting away with it. Like, she pulled the FU switch, and it did not seem like anybody really cared much afterwards. Of like,
and her team almost won anyway.
Yeah.
Like, literally did not matter. No, the FU lever, and she even said she's just going to keep doing that. I mean, she did it in a very sexual way, but she's just going to keep on pulling. I love that. So
if there's a lever, I'm gonna be pulling it or something.
I mean, New York is the type of insane, like, I don't watch the type of reality TV that New York does, right? Like, so New York is the type of insane where I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't necessarily love New York. I was happy when New York went home second last season, but also, like, I like having New York as the face of season one that made its way into season two. I feel like New York is the one who makes the most sense from that. And the last person is Larissa. I don't know why they went back to 90 Day Fiance again. Anfisa, obviously unbelievably good looking, but like Anfisa didn't feel like, I felt like she was probably the weakest of the cast last season. And then you bring back Larissa, and I don't really understand what the point of Larissa was going to be other than, and I don't mean to be on unnecessarily crude, but other than the fact that she has really big boobs. Like, I feel like that was literally the joke of the season for putting Larissa on. I mean, look at every single outfit she wore was just to highlight her boobs. Every comment was to highlight her boobs. Like, that is all they talked about the entire season. I don't really understand why Larissa was put on the season. I don't feel like she was ever going to translate well to this cast. And I do think it was for the best that she went home first here.
I think for Larissa, I'm going to echo some of the stuff you say, but like, I think the joke is, you remember her from the show. Well, she beat the crap out of that 90 Day Fiance guy.
Yeah.
But also, she got the craziest boob surgery you've ever seen. And there's no way Larissa was ever getting farther than 10th place because we don't know what she's saying. Like, I don't think she can strategize. I think it was, like, the two challenges she did, like, ooh, she won the group thing, but immediately gets put up anyway because somebody's like, I don't want to deal with you really. I don't know. Like, Larissa is, it's funny because I can't understand what she's saying, but like, that's funny for one episode, not 12. So it's like, okay, I am happy that she is the one who goes home first. And it seemed like some people are making a bad decision because Victoria will be, I don't know. Are we Vicky, Victoria? I was like, it's Victoria. Victoria does seem like she's going to punish at least one of those people that voted for Larissa to go home.
I mean, for sure. I feel like Victoria is leaning into this so hard. And I feel like Victoria will do whatever's going to make the best TV. I don't think she's really caring about anything else. So the people who voted for Victoria were Candy and Rich. Everybody else voted for Larissa. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I don't think it really matters. I don't think the vote stuff really matters here. I feel like people are just going to yell at each other anyway, because that's like the point of the show. But I am ultimately happy that Larissa was the one.
Who is coming back in Larissa's place when they flip back that chair, though? That was a cliffhanger. Are they bringing a 11th contestant?
No, because I was watching it. And they were talking about it in, or like they showed like enough stuff from next episode. There is no extra person. It didn't look like. It looked like it was just the same cast. It seems like whoever this is going to be like one of those kind of whatever her Janice thing. We're going to be like, now we're going to start with the next thing. You guys aren't going to bed. You're going to your next challenge or something, something, something. I feel like it's going to be a guest person. And I always feel like the guest people on this are so funny. Like, why is Janice Dickinson on this season? Like, why did we need to see her? There was literally no reason.
She had a knife above Omarosa in the cast photo for Surreal Life. Like, it's one of the craziest shit I've ever seen. Of like, oh yeah, she's villainous. She ruins every, she had Janice Dickinson model agency. Like, this is my bread and butter. Like, yeah, I know
you're doing the show with you. I couldn't do this with somebody else.
I know you're like, oh, I like watch Survivor over and over again. It's like, this is my shit, dude. And she was ruining people's life on America's Next Top Model for sure. But like, I think I probably should have done this 30 minutes ago, but what I love about House of Villains and like why this is a interesting show is the idea of like, what if we did something where it was so tongue-in-cheek that became the flavor of the show? Of, we don't need to explain to our audience where these people are from and take like huge amounts of context or whatever. Let's just throw them in here. It doesn't make sense to have these 10. Not really. We're just going to put them in a blender. Let's see what happens. Joel McHale's going to be talking about how shitty the show is as it goes, but him talking about the show being shitty now makes it good. And you're like, are you ready? And it's like a meta thing of like, have you been watching reality TV for 10 years, 20 years? Now it's like your favorite show because it was so good. Like, some of the stuff they did on season one, some of the stuff they're doing now is like, why are we going to Jax's thing? He lives in LA and like, we're going to build up the House of Villains of like, bring back people from last season for cameos just to mess with y'all is like such a cool thing that you can't do in Fiji for Survivor of like if they brought back Kinsey just to yell at people about a puzzle and I mean, be like
brought Cochran back and it was stupid.
Yeah. Like, but because it's so tongue in cheek and like, I think one thing that would be cool for a challenge is they bring back the person who like, gotten the biggest fight with you on your original show just to yell at you during a challenge or something. Like, that's what's possible on this show and then not possible anywhere else. And season one, even though I hate Bananas, like I wish Bananas had gone home, like people could enjoy the Traitors because Banana went home first and mm-hmm. and people were like, oh, I wish we got to see Bananas more. Why? You could see him on the challenge. I stopped watching the challenge because it's just Bananas over and over again. And like, for the first season of House of Villains, I was laughing so hard. And I was just like, this is an amazing show. I just don't like Bananas. So like, I'm pumped for season two. I think if I'm rooting for somebody, like it doesn't seem like Jesse Mr. Spectacular is really going to break through here. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming he'll get like sixth place. But like, as long as you can avoid Bad Girls Club versus Bachelor versus like Drag Race in the finale, I'll be fine.
And I feel like you're right. Like, this show is fun. Like, all the fourth wall breaking really works on this show. I liked when Candy kept calling Victoria Veronica and they were like, it's Victoria. And Candy was like, what have I been saying? Veronica? Oh no. Like, I love that kind of fourth wall breaking. I like when Larissa said, I'm going to F these people. I've already cursed so many times. So I will start now. I'm going to F these people. You mean you're going to F over these people, right? Like that. Like, I love the producers jumping in to do that kind of stuff. And I think it works. Like when they say bring in the chairs and they don't work right away. So then Joel McHale has to do it again. And like, those types of things, sure, like they were in terms of like the challenge, like who really cares about the jailbreak thing and the FU lever? The FU lever can kind of be fun, but then also like you have, okay, they just won. So now they just pick who the supervillain of the week is. Like them all being on the same team that won does literally nothing for them in terms of safety. The only one who's actually safe is New York and whoever they pick is supervillain of the week. So like the challenge and stuff take a back seat and that's fine because this show is supposed to be like the over-the-top silly. And what's interesting about a show like House of Villains compared to a show like The Traitors Traders is so much more popular. I think it helps that it's on a bigger network. It's a bigger game. And it is something that you are getting so many more people on that show. But what's funny about the Traders is the challenges mean nothing, but they look cool. And you sit there and you say, okay, I wish this had more meaning instead of just like wasting 30 minutes of my life. And they try to keep everything so serious over there, except for Alan. Whereas right. House of Villains is like, no, everybody's a clown. We're making everybody a clown. We want everybody to be a clown. And that's what we're going to play up. And the challenges are going to be silly, not serious. And as you're watching it, you don't really care who wins or anything because it's just like, whatever, we're going to get the hit list and non yada, yada, yada. I think this is a better design show than The Traitors, which is crazy to say because The Traitors is so popular and a lot of people would disagree with that. But like, what does The Traitors really do well? Cat. I mean, that's it.
The Traitors is just literally mafia, and like,
except the it's a challenges
don't
of
matter. Like, yeah. it's not a good format. It's just y'all will watch anything if it has Suri in it. Okay, yeah, me too. That's how yeah. I got back into Big Brother after all these. What we do need to say is this is the fact that Joel McHale's like. You guys are only here because Traitors isn't filming, and the amount of laughs it got from the people, it's like Joel McHale's one of my favorite personalities from that era of like Talk Soup. Like I used to watch that shit so much growing up. The Joel McHale show I tried for Netflix some, and it's like this is his best arena. Like he as a fake Jeff Probst or a fake Julie Chen is like amazing. He was on an episode of Drag Race as a judge mm-hmm. and screamed out loud when they came out and just like annoyed the hell out of the co-host there. So like he's like a villain host, which I think works well with this too. And if you guys are like, we already watching the show, you don't have to sell it for us. But like, I think this is the most show that's like celebrating reality TV and have you been paying attention for 20 years?
Yeah.
Because now you're going to get all these jokes.
I don't know if this is the type of show that like a younger fan, like if you're somebody who's 24 years old and you've watched some of these shows, but you've watched them during your lifetime, are you going to care about this? Right. Like, do you really know who New York Pollard is? And like, do you understand why she's so important to that, like to the reality TV world? Do you know that? And like the same thing with like Richard Hatch. Do you really care that he won the first season of Survivor? Probably not. But I feel like for people like us who have been around and who have seen these things develop and like seen the stars become people, it is an entertaining show. And like it definitely has an audience. And, you know, I feel like the way that this is going, I do feel like it found its stride here. I feel like this was a good premiere week. And I'm excited. I mean, I am excited to tune into next week. I was reluctant to watch House of Villains season one, except for the fact that Johnny Fairplay was on it. And so I was like, all right, I'll watch it because of Fairplay. And I was into it. But again, it's not the type of reality TV I really watch. But now watching last night, watching The Walk of No Shame and seeing all that, like I was into it. I was very into it. And I think it's going to be a good season. I do.
All right. Who do you think wins out of the 10? Just kidding. Melissa already went. You think Wes wins?
I think it's gonna be Wes or it's gonna be Camilla. I really do. I feel like we are going straight for the same thing we had last season, which is the challenge and Bad Girls Club.
I think I'm gonna take the fields because we did say that's who it is. Of is it Wes or is it not? I do feel like I'm at a disadvantage with the field, but I'll even do one better and say, I bet you just because of how annoying it would be, Candy Buse wins the season.
That would be so great. Honestly, Candy Muse winning, like I was very into Candy Muse on this show. I feel like Candy Muse is going to be perfect casting for what this show wants to do.
Because so, the Candy Muse, just so you know, Candy Muse got second place on both of her seasons.
Gotcha.
Like,
so that means yeah. that Candy Muse is going to get second place again. Do you just convince me? She doesn't win.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. But like, they producers know on the show where it's the most prestigious, but like also like it's all up to the discretion of one person. It's like they're going to do their dead level best to keep Candy Muse chugging till the finale here. So fingers crossed, you know, I love
my fingers are crossed.
I think Teresa probably gets not close. So Fiery maybe gets top five, but
I feel like Teresa, Hatch, Mr. Pectacular are somewhere in like that 6 to 9 range. Like that's going to be your group. Victoria will go a little bit further. She'll always be kind of somebody who's on the block. Eventually she'll just get voted out. But I feel like people will, I mean, Wes is talking about, I want to keep Victoria around. Well, if Wes is going to be in control of the house and that's what's going to happen. I love Hatch calling that out right away of like, you're the one who's making all the decisions. It's funny in a show like Survivor, you can make that work to your advantage. But in a show like this, like Hatch really can't do anything. But it does give me the mentality of like, you know what, if Hatch came back and he played, if he played in season, you know, 50, he could still make it work on Survivor 100%.
God, I'm glad we're getting Hatch here and not on Survivor 50.
Why?
Because Jeff Probst said, you're not loyal to Survivor, remember?
I know.
You went and did House of Villains. I mean, Homeboy is looking old.
Dude, I think he looks pretty good, honestly. I really do. For a 63-year-old guy, I think he looks pretty good.
Me too.
I feel like you're lying. I really think he looks good. I mean, I honestly thought that Hatch, especially like he had gotten pretty heavy over the years. I feel like Hatch looks good for somebody who's 63 years old.
I feel like we need to be more villainous if we're going to be co-hosts.
No, I mean, we can be villainous. I disagree with you. I disagree. I think, Blake, you know what? You look that good at 63. Let's see.
I'm dead long before.
You're not making it.
House of Villains season 4 kills me, I think.
Yeah, is that what it's going to be? Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, we can wrap this up. Thank you all so much for listening. This was a good time. I'm excited to do this. We'll be doing it more probably every Thursday. I think that's pretty much how it's going to roll. Why should Blake get Thursdays off? He finally gets done with Big Brother.
We got to see when YouTube uploads and then we'll watch it. We'll do it an hour after YouTube uploads.
I mean, because it's fun. I can get it easy. I just got to get you the NBC access. That's what Blake needs.
The first two episodes, if you watch the whole podcast without watching the show, the first two episodes are legitimately on their YouTube, and I didn't realize until like I have already bought it my own. So just go watch. I feel like we could do that as a, hey, watch the first two episodes here and then watch our podcast.
Yeah.
The Specialist of Villains.
The Specialist of Villains. House of Specialists.
Dude, House of Villains?
Oh, damn. We got to get that. Ch-ch. I need like the sound effect where like the extra V comes in right next to that V.
I'm not your Cinderella. I'm your bad Cinderella. Do you know that reference?
I don't.
Dude, Did you think
I was going to know that reference?
People are laughing at home right now.
No, yeah. Nobody thought I was going to get that reference. All right. Thank you all for listening. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. We'll be doing coverage of this show all season long. And yeah, that's it. Hope you enjoyed. Bye.
Bye.